Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, is the second part in our series that we're titling Best Leads for Creative Financing Deals. So on our last episode, we briefly went over what works for creative financing and what doesn't in a general sense. Do you want to talk about that at all, or do you want to...
Really what it is that there's certain things that you're looking for, and there's certain things that can be deal killers, so to speak. So what we're trying to do is give you an idea of quickly when something comes in, does it fit the kind of criteria that would work best with creative financing?
Okay. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to that episode so that you can kind of put this whole part together.
Okay, so let's talk about the first example, which would be little to no equity. So these are kind of my favorite kind of deals because, one, no one else is working with these people. So there's little to no competition.
Yeah. Your traditional wholesaler or rehabber can't do anything with them.
And there's not a lot of negotiation either. It's like you have like no equity. How much money are you looking for?
So they
tend to be a little more motivated.
Right.
So let's go through an example and let's figure out how this would all work.
Okay.
All right. So let's have a property that has an ARV of $350,000. Let's say that they owe about $330,000.
Okay.
And remember, little to no equity, at least in my mind, is 10% or less in equity. So 90% loan to value or higher.
Okay.
Okay. They have a payment of $1,810 a month, PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Their interest rate's 3.5%. The house is in good condition, not updated or super nice, but good. And their taxes run $1,750 a year, and their insurance is about $55 a month. And the property could potentially rent for, let's say, $1,900 to maybe even a little over $2,000. So if we go back to our list of things that we're looking for, is it under retail? It's
not
pretty
really
tight, right?
Yeah.
Small down payment. Well,
maybe.
Potentially. Could we get a 3-year term or more?
Probably.
Fixed interest rate. Is the interest rate good?
Yes. 3.5, I think you said.
Could we wrap this? Almost for sure, yes. Less work.
Probably.
Sounds like it's in decent condition.
Right.
So we have a lot of the things that we're looking for right away.
Okay.
So one of the things that I would always do when I'm looking at a particular deal is, obviously, we're going to try to figure out the ARV, right? So we're going to run comps. We're going to look at what the property is worth if it were all pristine.
Okay.
Okay? We're also going to look at what would this property rent for. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to use Rentometer, and it's not the absolute. You can't be guaranteed, but it's good.
Yeah.
And if you need to get a little more in depth, you could go through Zillow, you could go through Craigslist.
Yeah,
you could call some property managers, all kinds of stuff that you can do. But we do want to have an idea of what this would rent for. Now, Jonathan, are you interested in renting a property that, even if you could just buy it for free? Yep, they give it to you. Would you be interested in renting this out for $2,000 a month, And if your payment's $1,810 a month?
Yeah, absolutely.
You would do it?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it would be a good buy and hold for you.
I mean, that's tight. You said $1,810 for the payment. Yep. I can rent it out for $2,000. If I could hold it long term and still cash flow it, I would be interested.
It would be something that you would at least look at.
Yeah.
See, for me, I doubt that I would, just because now, well, when I say that, I don't want to straight rent it, because landlord's got issues to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. And $190 a month cash flow isn't going to handle a lot of issues,
right?
So, and it's probably not going to be anything that we could wholesale necessarily. People do surprise me every once in a while. I guess if there's a long enough term and they potentially could just hold it, that they'd be open to it. But most likely it's not something that we're going to wholesale to a landlord. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what is the exit strategy? What is the thing that we're going to have to look for in this case?
A tenant buyer.
A tenant or an owner-occupant, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's think about this. So let's break this down a little bit. So here are some of the things I want to be clear about. And we kind of went over it, but the condition. So the condition's good. What does good mean? Livable. It might not be...
almost move-in ready.
Yeah. Hopefully it is move-in ready. So maybe it needs to just be cleaned a little bit. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a show house, a parade of homes type kind of property. But it's got to be good, especially in that kind of price range. Okay? The interest rate's good. We like 3.5%. We like the payment, maybe a little bit high.
Yeah.
But it's within reason. And when I say that, even if, like, let's say that the rents were only $1,800 a month, so it's break even, I'm going to take it one step further and I'm going to look at something. So if I think this house is worth $350, and we've talked before, we talked on the last episode, that I always think that I'm going to get about 10% down from my buyer. So let's say that we're going to sell this house for $350, even though we might be able to even raise it a little bit, depending on condition, location, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But so let's say that we could get $30,000 down from $350. So we're going to have a principal balance of $320.
Okay.
Okay. And right now, interest rates are kind of low again, so a little over maybe between four and four and a quarter. So let's take 4.5%. We just want to be in the range. We're going to amortize it over 30 years. So what's our payment?
30 years. Well, that was wrong. What?
I'm making him figure this out as we're speaking.
Yeah. So if you guys don't have your calculators out, get your financial calculators out, loan calculator, whatever. So the payment is $1,621.
Okay. So you remember the reason that I gave you what the taxes are is that we're going to add that on top of this, right?
Okay.
Because the buyer is going to pay the taxes. So it's almost about $150 a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're at now... 1720, 1770 something, right?
Okay.
We're real close.
Yeah.
So we could probably make this work. But it's tight. It's tight.
Right.
So really what it's going to come down to, in my opinion, are a few things. The condition, which we've talked about. How about the location?
Yes.
Do people want to be in this area? Because if they do...
you'll find somebody.
Yeah. If it's a marginal area, might be a little harder. Might be to the point where you can't find somebody. So location really matters in this situation. And then what we structure with the seller. Okay?
Right.
So let's talk about that now. So when we talk about this particular deal, we can use every kind of strategy that we have. We could use a lease option.
Right.
We could use a sandwich lease option. We could use subject to. we could use contract for deed or land contract or all inclusive, trust deed and note, or wraparound mortgage. We could use every single one in this particular case. And what it's, they're all going to be, they're going to mirror the underlying
debt,
loan.
Right.
So it's going to be exactly 3.5%, whatever the principal balance is.
Yeah,
and then for payments, whatever term that you're going to agree upon. Okay, so Jonathan, think about, what if you, this was your house, okay? And let's say that you had moved and now this house is sitting vacant and you're making an $1,810 a month payment and you're not super wealthy. Do you think that might create some financial burden?
Yes, I'd be pretty motivated.
Yeah. And could you go list this property? You could, right?
What's going to happen? There's no equity there.
So I mean, you're going to probably have to start asking more than what it's truly worth to just try to break even.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, or come up with money.
Yeah, or you're going to come out of pocket, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe not the ideal situation. But it's costing money both ways, right? So
right.
Either you pay every month or you're paying maybe up front.
Yeah, okay? to get rid of it.
And not everyone is capable of, hey, you know, I'll come out of pocket with $7,000-$8,000, or you know, I can make $1,800 a month payment for the next 3, 4, 5 months.
Right.
So typically, what do these people do?
They give it back to the bank.
They try to rent it, right?
Oh yeah.
In which case, yep, they might be, you know, just basically covering a payment.
Right.
So what is this person looking for? More than anything else,
it's someone to come in and take over that payment.
Debt relief, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So we love people that need debt relief. Okay. The job transfer. Yep. We're not hoping for any health issues, but health issues, bought a new house or moved to some other house, have 2 mortgage payments, can't afford 2 mortgage payments. Don't want to be a landlord, have been a landlord, don't like being a landlord.
Right.
All those things, right? So what if we went in and we just offered, I mean, could we offer them just $330 and no money and we'll just take over existing debt and relieve them of that?
Yeah.
We could.
Yeah.
Could we make it a little better for them? Could we show them that really that they're not going to get any money, but we could offer them some money so they could actually walk away with something?
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would go in and I would offer anywhere from a down payment of zero to, let's say, $7,000-$10,000, anywhere in that range. Now, I'm not paying them the $7,000-$10,000. That's not my goal here. I don't want necessarily to stay in the middle here.
No, I
just don't think that there's enough reason to. There's no equity. There's very little cash flow. What I want to do is I want to go find an owner-occupant.
Yep.
To come in, put down a down payment. That down payment's going to pay the seller, and it's going to pay us. And then we're going to be out of the middle.
Right.
Okay? So we're going to arbitrage the down payment or wholesale it, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Okay? So remember, again, one of the rules is being able to get in with a low down payment.
Right.
So even if we offered $10,000, do you think that it's possible that we could get 30 on this house, 25?
Yeah.
So maybe I wouldn't offer 10 because
might be a little steep.
Yeah. I mean, if this house was in pristine condition, we're buying at $20,000 under, I'd be like, sure, no problem, because we could up the price. But being that it's, you know, in good condition, not great, we don't want to go overboard because we could be sitting and waiting on a buyer. You know, buyers are smart.
Yeah.
They know the market, and they typically don't overpay unless they truly are emotional in love with a particular property.
Right.
So we'd offer anywhere from $0 to $10,000.
Call it five.
Let's call it $5,000. Okay. We're going to have that same 3.5% interest rate. We're going to, by the way, someone that can't qualify for a loan right now, would they be, I mean, ecstatic to get a 3.5% interest rate?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's better than you can get if you're an A-plus credit buyer right now.
Yeah. So that's so true.
They thrilled out of their mind. Okay. We'd want at least 3 years, and we may want a little longer term on this. Why do you think we might want a little longer term?
So that your owner-occupant can fix their credit and refinance the property.
Well, and refinance is kind of the key thing, right? Because
yes.
There's not a ton of equity here. So the more equity that that buyer builds up, the easier it will be for them to refinance the property.
Very good.
So we could deal with 3 years, but we may need a certain type of buyer. 5 years would be better.
Ideal.
7 years would be even better than that.
Right.
So, and because there's more motivation, do you think they may be willing to allow it to stay in their name longer?
Yeah, I think so.
So we would ask for 3+ years and we would get it. And you'd probably get whatever it is. Now, do you think you should just go and say, I'd like it for the next 24 years, the extent of the, because I know people that do.
Yeah.
You could. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but why? If you're just arbitraging this, there's no reason to.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? 5 years, 7 years, 10 years is plenty of time for a new buyer.
Right.
Okay. So we'd sell to an owner-occupant. And all we're going to do is, so let's say we gave the seller $5,000. So we're into this for $335,000, right? $5,000 down. Let's say that we're going to try to make $20,000 on this property. So we're going to advertise it for $355,000 and with $25,000 down, which is less than 10%.
Right.
3.5% interest, a good payment. And a longer term, what do you think the chances of finding a buyer?
Pretty good.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to make $20,000 for a house that's only got $20,000 in equity, and you're not buying it. You're not putting any money down. There's really no risk. Now there are some things that you should be careful of when you're, you know, basically brokering a deal like this, and I'm not giving any legal advice. I'm not going to go into that. But that's something that you need to know based on where you're doing this.
Right.
But if you understand the wholesaling rules of where you're working, then there are ways to make this work and do it all above board.
Yeah, so, legitimately.
Yeah. But pretty cool, right?
I mean, that's the magic of creative financing right there. Being able to take a no deal and turn it into a deal, and you're creating a win-win scenario for everyone involved. The owner-occupant gets a place to live, and they're actually building equity. The current homeowner gets debt relief and some money up front, which that wouldn't even have been there if they sold it on the market with an agent.
Yep.
And you get to take, you know, your fee in the middle of that.
Yep. And what I would tell the seller, and this is a personal preference, I would tell the seller, hey, if you have any issues with this buyer stops paying you, is whatever it may be, call me.
Let me know.
Yeah. Why do you think I'd do that?
So that you can put the deal together again and sell it a second time.
Well,
I want to help the seller.
Yeah,
first and foremost,
I want it to remain a win-win situation. You know, I don't want the buyer to lose out on their deal. I don't. But I don't want the seller to get hurt either. They're the ones that, you know, I had to sell this whole thing to. So I want it to be a good experience. And yes, there may be a potential another payday in it, but I want to see it through as much as I possibly can see it through.
Absolutely.
So any questions about that?
No, it's pretty straightforward for me. And I love it. So, guys, again, this is a little to no equity deal. And these, you should be able to find these all day long.
Yeah.
And you're looking for people that probably bought a property, you know, in the last 2 years, 3 years, something like that.
3 to 5, maybe.
Yeah. Someone who got a job transfer or, you know, maybe had to move state because of a relative or family member that needed
health
their help.
Health issues, job loss.
Spouse divorce. Relocation. Divorce.
Yep.
Yeah.
On and on. And they just don't have that many options.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, most of them tend to just go and try to rent it.
And they have no experience or business being a landlord.
And they don't want to be either.
Yeah.
They kind of fell back on that plan just because they were starting to run out of options.
Yeah, true.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, that kind of wraps up this part number two of best leads for creative financing deals. So stay tuned, guys, for the next episode. And I hope you're enjoying this. You guys can reach us on our creative financing hotline. So if you guys have deals, if you want to get into Jeff's apprentice program, if you're trying to structure a deal and you want to work with Jeff, and Jeff's looking for commercial deals. I want to say that every time so that we're not just getting inundated by calls.
Yeah, I don't looking. Want- two-bedroom, one-bath homes all over the country, please.
So. Yeah. So, again, our creative financing hotline is 877-409-8090. You can leave comments there. If you have a specific question on any of our content, let us know. Again, 877-409-8090. And you can find all of our episodes at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. Until next time, guys, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.